Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, Text 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
The verse I'm speaking on is verse 30 to 40, and verse 40 has a purport, so we'll chant that verse. So, text 30, as Kritika Devi, after receiving the semen of Lord Shiva from Agni, conceived a child named Skanda, Kartikeya, Krityadyuti, having received semen from Chitraketu, became pregnant after eating remnants of food from the yajna performed by Angira. After receiving semen from Maharaj Chitraketu, the king of Surasena, Queen Krityadyuti gradually developed in a pregnancy, O King Pariksit, just as the moon develops during the bright fortnight. Thereafter, in due course of time, a son was born to the king. Hearing of this news, all the inhabitants of the state of Surasena were extremely pleased. King Chitraketu was especially pleased. After purifying himself by bathing and by decorating himself with ornaments, he engaged learned Brahmins in offering benedictions to the child and performing the birth ceremony. Unto the Brahmins who took part in the ritualistic ceremony, the king gave charity of gold, silver, garments, ornaments, villages, horses and elephants, as well as 60 crores of cows, 600 million cows. Anyway, this charity on the birth of a child, especially by the father, it's called Danavir. It's a chivalrous move, one of the rasas, one of the relationships, the overwhelming emotional experience is chivalry. So Danavir is the father. He gives charity. In America, we say have a cigar. Here it was a little bit more sophisticated. Nandakeha Nandabayo Jai Kaneya Lalki. Nandakeya Nandabayo Jai Kaneya Lalki. Jai Kaneya Lalki. Jai Kaneya Lalki. Hati Diya Gora Diya Or Diya Palaki. That's the national anthem of Nandagram, where Krishna was born. It says, Nandakeya Nandabayo. Nandamaraj became blissful when his son was born. Jai Kanelal. Jai, this beautiful little child. And Hati Diya, he gave elephants. Gora Diya, he gave horses. Or Diya Palakin, and he gave chariots. So anyway, this is just the rasa. Danavir. As a cloud indiscriminately pours water on the earth, the beneficent King Chitraketu, to increase the reputation, opulence, and longevity of his son, distributed like rainfall all desirable things to everyone. When a poor man gets some money, after great difficulty, his affection for the money increases daily. Similarly, when King Chitraketu, after great difficulty, received his son, his affection for the son increased day after day. He had 10,000 wives and he couldn't have a child. Now finally he had a child. You can imagine how happy he was. The mother's attraction and attention to the son, like that of the child's father, excessively increased. The other wives, seeing Kritidyuti's son, were very much agitated, as if by high fevers, with a desire to have sons. Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata were born into this world overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. Even in Vaishnav society, what a Vaishnav is near Matsaranam Satam. He's one who doesn't have this envy because he has no fruitive desires. The whole Bhagavatam is based on that principle. Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Namatsaranam Satam. It doesn't have this. You do this and you get this stuff. That's for envious people, not for Vaishnavas. But nonetheless, envy is such a core material quality that when we're here, it's something we have to fight, especially among peers. You see, oh, we don't get envious of the gurus, but the disciples can become envious of each other. So it's natural. So here, it's almost natural. Now, the husband who wanted a son so much, now one wife has it. So the others are feeling envious. Oh, how are they envious? It's natural feeling in the material world. And who is the topmost person? Topmost person who has no envy, Paramahamsa, the highest person, is devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Criticism is worse than envy. Envy is when it's in the heart. Criticism is when it comes out. So if you avoid criticism, you're a Paramahamsa. And if you think it's easy, try it. I won Kartik in Vrindavan. Every Vrindavan last documented 20, last 30 years. Every Kartik, I'm in Govardhan Hill. Namvrata, austerities. This is what really gives us the strength. That 1 month, Madhavatiti Bhakatija, these days of lottery, they give birth to devotion. Myself and my friends were there. And the last 5 days of Bhishma Panchika, 5 days where you can get the benefit of the whole month, supposedly. And people perform austerity. So everyone was taking vows. One person, I'm only going to eat, cow dung the first day and cow urine the third day and then fast. All these vows. So I think what my vow is. So the senior vice asked Jayadvaita Maharaj, said, what's your vow for the last 5 days? He said, I'm not going to read newspapers. Oh. At that time, there was no email, nothing. It was just the Times of India was the only thing. Then I asked my friend Bhurijan Prabhu. Unfortunately, he doesn't come to New York. Great soul. And asked him, what's your vow? He said, I will not criticize anyone for the last 5 days. Okay, that's great. Hey, I'll take that vow. And if I criticize anyone, this is an Indian thing. When you say something wrong, you have to cross your hands, pull your ears, and bite your tongue. Indians do this. Multiple knows. This is common. He does it. He says so many things wrong, and then he bites his tongue. I see it all the time. So he said, we're going to do this. I'll do it. Wow. What an austerity. Give up something and then you'll see how much you do it. So it's natural. It's so in our hearts. It's a thing that we have to fight to chant the holy name of Krishna purely, practically more than anything else. So this is the scene. As King Chitraketu fostered his son very carefully, his affection for Queen Kritadyuti increased, but gradually lost affection for the other wives who had no sons. So you can imagine what they're feeling. You know, it's very difficult to be mindful, to be observant of our nature. So this is just so natural. He developed more affection, and he's not really cognizant. The other queens were extremely unhappy due to their being sonless. Because of the king's negligence towards them, they condemned themselves in envy and lamented. Today's verse. Digga prajam stiyam papam.
Digga
okay, 40. Patyus cha griha sammatam. Suprajabi sapatni bir. Dasim eva tiraskritam. Any ladies chant, please? Dig all condemnation. Aprajam, without a son. Stiyam, upon a woman. Papam, full of sinful activities. Patyu, by the husband. Sha, also. Agriha sammatam, who is not honored at home. Suprajabi, who have sons. Saputnibi, by co-wives. Dasim, a maidservant. Iva, exactly like. Tiaskritam, dishonored. Okay, this is what the queens are saying now, or thinking. A wife who has no sons is neglected at home by her husband and dishonored by her co-wives, exactly like a maidservant. Certainly such a woman is condemned in every respect because of her sinful life. Purport, as stated by Chanakya Pandit, Mata Yasya Griha Nasti Viharya Chapriya Vadani Aranyam Tena Gantavyam Yataranyam Tatagriham. A person who has no mother at home and whose wife does not speak sweetly should go to the forest. For such a person, living at home and living in the forest are equal. End quote. Similarly, for a woman who has no son, who is not cared for by her husband, and whose co-wives neglect her, treating her like a maidservant, to go to the forest is better than to remain at home. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksurunmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Padantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama sri krishna chaitanya prabhu ananda sri advaita gadadhar shivasade gaur bhaktavinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare. There are a lot of king stories in the Bhagavatam. In fact, a requirement for a Purana or history is that the kings must be included. In the 10 subject matters of the Bhagavatam, Manvatara, Ishakanta, Narodha, Mukta, Asya, one of the subjects, 10 subject matters, is the Manus. Manus are the rulers, are the kings. And that authorizes it. And it's very, very, because it's a spiritual history. And really, what is the real study of history? The real study of history is your father died, your father's father died, his father's father died, his father, everyone has died. That's the story of, that's history. That's history. The other thing of history is no one has become happy by controlling the material world. And it should not be your aspiration. It does not work. Even if you achieve your material desires, it will not in itself give you happiness. In fact, if they are not connected to a spiritual objective, they will give you misery. And that's why the kings are mentioned, because what does king mean? King means controller. Wow, king. Wouldn't you all like to be kings or queens? Everything right now that you desire, you would have. Everything. Control, opulence, power, respect. You'd have everything. That is our objective in the material world, and we have to admit it. Subtly. Even in a spiritual movement, you can be bewildered by a hierarchy of respect and power and make that your objective. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because why? Study history. Study the history of the kings. What's the history of the kings? They are as miserable as everyone else, even though they have what we want. It doesn't work. Because happiness is an internal thing. Happiness is not the world around you. It's how you look at it and respond to it. And how you feel about things. If you don't work on that, then no matter what you get, you won't be happy. And what's the proof? I'm trying to think of one verse. What is that verse? It's just a verse. I forgot the verse. Kobe, though, one who is intelligent, he understand what? Tasyeva heto priyateta kobe do talabhyateyad ramatamu paryada. You can wander everywhere in this universe. The intelligent person doesn't do that. He goes for that which has meaning, which you can achieve right now. Right, there was one, name was Iti Hillison. She was in Auschwitz. And she basically became kind of self-realized. And she kind of looked at the fence. And there was barbed wire, and there were people on the other side who were controlling her. And she was on the other side of the fence. And she said, hold up. She said that if you don't have an internal life, it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. So the stories of the kings is they achieved everything, but they still suffered. Why? Because of one basic principle in the material world. A pinch of suffering is felt more than a ton of happiness. Think Bill Gates with a toothache. And something will go wrong if your objective is to be the enjoyer. Because to be the enjoyer, you have to be the controller. And we're not. So that's the story of King Chitraketu. And that's the story of every single king. They have everything. They have all power. They have control. But always within limited parameters. Not absolute control. Because life is temporary. That's why I went to one lecture here by a famous scholar of yoga. And he gave the happiness test at the beginning of his class. And he had three questions. Have you found what you're looking for? And you may have said yes. Then you have to meet the second test. Is it eternal? If it's not eternal, it's going to be filled with duality. And then the third thing is, of course, and this is what yoga and bhakti and doing, are you always living within what is eternal? What is your objective? And that's the spiritual platform. And that's what the Bhagavatam is directing people to. A spiritual platform. And the material platform is for the spiritual platform. It never can be satisfying within itself. So that's King Chitraketu. Now here in the purport, the queens who have no sons, and then the son is born to one of the queens, they're lamenting. And interesting that it quotes from Chanakya Pandit, and it gives very, very heavy instructions. It says that the point is making is if the household life is not pleasing, then what is the difference between that and the forest? Because why does one enter into household life? They enter into it for a certain peacefulness that someone who's not qualified as a renunciate cannot have without that relationship. So you're entering it for that purpose, and you're not staying in the forest. But if the relationships are not sweet, if there's not that affection within that relationship, then what is the use? And specifically here, and we see for the king, we just see he has everything, but he has no son. And in that particular culture, the son was putra. Put means help and tra means to deliver, just like mantra. Man means mind and tra means to deliver. So what does it mean? The son delivers the father from hell. And what was the system? The system was there would be pinda or ablations. Because in this system, that when someone dies, they realize that being in that situation, they didn't live a sinless life, and therefore they're going to suffer by the law of karma. And how can they be free from that suffering? Well, the son can perform oblations at Gaia and be absolved. So in that system, this was essential. What to speak of the system of living, where it used to be that children added something economically. Now people are afraid to have children. I know that upstate there's some very nice married people, and one of them drove me. And they're kind of, there's a godbrother of mine you may know called Varsana Maharaj. He's a very saintly person. He doesn't get out of New Vrindavan very much. But he described that even among devotees, there's two types of people. Earthmen and aliens. I'm an alien. I'm from Brooklyn. Earthmen are people who can put their hands in the ground. You know, so we're talking to him, and there's several couples up there, and I said, well, you know, maybe you should get some land together. And then I made the point, then if you get land together, then each child becomes an asset. It's another hand to work, another hand to help. So there was a certain culture there where this really had context. Even look at Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya's father died, Lord Chaitanya went to Gaia. That's where he met his guru. He met his guru in Gaia, which is an incredible scene, because the meeting of his guru and his acceptance of his guru and the transference of the heart of his guru to his heart, he becomes completely transformed. And when he comes home, that's actually the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. The beginning of the Sankirtan movement began when Lord Chaitanya met his guru at Gaia, became initiated, but real initiated. He really fully surrendered, and therefore his heart was open to the Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam, Krishnanu Shilanam, the connection Anu to Krishna through the Guru Parampara. He's connected to that energy fully, and he was transformed. And it's an interesting point, before I get back to the theme of the lecture here, how the Sankirtan movement began. It began with that internal feeling of devotion, which was then intensely cultivated in the association of the devotees at a place called Srivasangam, where Lord Chaitanya, the Sankirtan movement, began. And that place, they were doing nocturnal kirtans. We're proud of our 12-hour kirtans. They were doing them every night, from 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning. They were doing their kirtans, and they were just developing so strongly that sangha, that devotion, that community, that group of people that allow you to transcend your individual selfish interest for a common interest, which helps you overcome the limited concept of I that roots you in selfishness and prevents you from actually experiencing the holy name. And they met together, and then it couldn't be contained. But anyway, this thing was Lord Chaitanya. It was karma kanda. That type of activity wasn't necessarily bhakti. It was a ritualist activity. Lord Chaitanya did it. Why did Lord Chaitanya do that activity? Why not just chant Hare Krishna? Because jnana karma jnavritam. Karma doesn't cover bhakti if it's an intense social obligation that would cause disturbance socially and to yourself. So Lord Chaitanya, if he didn't go and said, I'm just chanting kirtan, forget about my obligations, there would be such a social disturbance in that type of society and that type of expectations. But we know, devarsha bhutata ninam patrinam nakinkaro nayam, that the bhakti itself, everything is meant to open that heart. When you open that heart, other obligations become less pressing, but he went. But it was so pressing. So these cultural things are actually important in a sense. Bhaktivinod Thakur was asked, what is the relationship with varnashram and bhakti? Varnashram is your social and occupational situation, the proper social and economic situation. He said the proper social and economic situation, if it's done properly, it gives physical health. Because when you have a contribution to society according to your nature, you are reciprocated for that by society naturally. So it creates your physical needs, mental needs. You become peaceful. Previous situation was that one's work would be their recreation. The work was the thing they love. And then when they came home, they can perform all sorts of austerities. They can perform spiritual practices. But today, where we have ugra karma, ugly work, work that taxes us, is against our nature, then what can we do when we get home from work? We can sit in a big chair, turn on the TV, and drink a beer. Not us. It's hard to perform austerity. So you said the proper social situation, it's physical peace, it's mental peace, and it's social peace. Because then you actually have qualified people economically, in terms of labor and arts, economically, administratively, and intellectually, all these things are important. And he said, without that, what is the question of the higher endeavor of self-realization? So there is different social things that are mentioned. In the home, the mother at home, the affection. I wrote one article, The Mind, Mother, and Food, when I had this startling realization from dabbling in astrology that there was a relationship in a person's chart. If the indication of your mother would be the moon in your chart and the fourth house, it was also the same indication of the mind. So there was a direct correlation between the affection and nurturing influences in one's life and the strength of one's mind. So society was very much geared to have this nurturing influence at home to develop so strongly the mental and the mind, strong mind needs the ability to express and control emotion. The strong mind, that's what makes someone successful. So there, the mother at home, and then the relationship, how the families were set up, so there would be a reasonably compatible and functional relationship between husband and wife. He says there, when this is not there, then what's the difference between the forest and home? And then Prabhupada said, and for a woman who has no son, does not care for her husband, his co-wives neglect her, and she's treated like a maidservant, to go to the forest is better than remain home. So that's also not a peaceful situation. And of course, we have two things. We have the philosophy and the application of the philosophy. to really understand the philosophy, you not only need to know what the principles are, you need to know how to apply them properly. And that's a great science, because there's principles and there's detail. Principles are you have to worship the guru. Detail is having guru puja every day. Actually, in the Gaudiya line, they didn't have guru puja every day. It's not a principle. But Prabhupada said we should have this. I know this. I had a pretty good friendship with this brahmachari. He was about 30 years older than me, who Prabhupada asked to come to America in 1950, when Prabhupada was leaving home, becoming a vanaprastha. He asked this person to come with him. And the person asked his guru, and the guru wouldn't allow him to come. And then he showed up in America like 40 years later at the Radha Govinda Mandir, and I was there, and I became friends with him. And then he saw us worshiping Prabhupada every day, and he said, oh, your guru worship here. It's so pronounced, because it's not done in the Gaudiya Mandir. They don't worship the guru every day. That's a detail, guru puja. But the principle is, so how do you know the difference between a detail and a principle? And I remember my friend Bhurijan Prabhu specifically asked that to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada gave the only answer you can give. It takes intelligence. It takes intelligence. Just like Grandfather Bhishma, his instructions to Yudhisthira on how to live in the world and how to transcend the distress of the world. And he gave him three principles. Bow your head to God, because if you think you're the center, you'll never understand who is. And that disconnect from your very soul will be the source of existential malaise and despair. You'll wind up existentialist, where your only choice is whether to give up your life or not. That's your only choice. And the thing is, respond with principles of religion. And the third one is important. Under the guidance of the Vaishnavas and Brahmins. Because that will be an obstacle. There's one principle. One of the six obstacles to devotional service is niyama agraha. And in the Sanskrit, you break the word. It's niyama agraha and niyama agraha. Niyama agraha means too much affection for the rules. And niyama agraha means too little affinity for the rules. So it's such a balance. It's such a balance. How to apply it. How to... Because rules have purpose. So when do you transcend it that it doesn't serve the purpose? For example, if you're flying an airplane, if you want to stop at all the traffic lights, you're a fool. Because it's another platform. So how do you know when a rule doesn't apply? Probably better to err on the side of following the rules than transcending them. But to be cognizant of it and applying it. And therefore we have to go to the principle. And the principle here is not so much go to the forest or stay home, or now I read the Bhagavatam and my husband's not nice to me, now I'm going to the forest here. Bhagavatam 6:14:40. I read it right here. He's not nice. Here, who has not cared for the husband, treating her like a maidservant, go to the forest is better than remain at home. I got my thing. It's the principles. The principle is that affection is required for peace. And that is the purpose of a union. to give you the affection you require for peace that you can't get alone. That's why in Brahmacharya Ashram, for it to stay, there has to be brotherhood, very, very strong. Very, very strong brotherhood. And generally, there has to be a good relationship with one's mother. Because this is a fact. Garunga once told me this when I was giving a lecture. The good brahmacharis, they generally had good relationship with their mother. Because if that core basic appreciation and affection is not in the heart, you're definitely going to have to get it in this life, practically speaking. It's not an absolute rule, too. Because sometimes we have karma where people have terrible relationships and it's just Krishna ending their stay in the material world. They actually become renounced. That's also a fact. Okay, we're just getting into the verse, but are there any questions? Gail, I was so surprised that just in my class they made this nice mandala for me. I don't know. You know, I guess it's a special day and they thought the group, they make like a mandala. Okay. Okay. Anybody have any questions? Everybody agrees with everything I said? Ladini? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You asked a lot of things, but I'll try to answer very simply, is that holy name alone, that's a Maduram Madure Dhyopi, there's a song, Rupa Goswami, the holy name alone is enough. But sometimes there are obstacles to our concentration and to our behavior that impede the holy name, that could be that are assisted by proper social organization. So we don't neglect that, but we understand in our process that the real purification will come from that meditation on the holy name of God. That's where it real come. Otherwise, just trying to untie and unwind things will take more lifetimes than we can imagine. And the story in that regard was, that was told, I'm not sure which acharya, of Alexander the Great, you know, to conquer something, there was a Gordian knot, this huge knot that no one can untie. It was so complicated. You know, no one can untie this Gordian knot. And everyone was trying to it. And he said, yeah, it's easy. And he took out his sword and he went, and he just cut it. So that's really our understanding, that it's really going to happen by the holy name. But there's so many disturbances that we can't concentrate. And they're just like, you know, the Bhakti Center, it's such a nice example to see a temple that has an intellectual aspect, that has an administrative aspect, that has an economic aspect. There's people expert here, cooperative in all different areas, and so many people to serve and do the work. And the result is, it is a peaceful place where people can chant Hare Krishna without any disturbance. Where sometimes, if a temple is really dysfunctional, a person will come in and feel less enlivened when they leave than before they came, because things will disturb them. So you can see that very functionally here, how you have such a good leader here, and you have so many bright people that give us Shastra here, and you know, and how they're economically establishing the place, and how many people are, or everyone, coming forward. It creates an atmosphere where we can flourish and chant the holy name and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. But those things alone, without a concentration on the Shastra, without a concentration on the Bhagavatam, those things alone, Shrama Evahi Kebalam, Dharma Svanushtita Pumsa, Viviksena Katasya, Nopadiye Yatiritim, Shrama Evahi Kebalam. Even Dharma, Svanushtita, expertly performed. Oh, you're here. Oh, I didn't see it. I thought it was, usually it's on this side, but I guess, yeah, I'm blaming it on the curtain. I couldn't see it. Dharma Svanishtita Viviksena Katasya, Yatiritim, Shrama. It's no good. If the objective is not there. So this is the balance. Okay, we end. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.